Welcome to KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and I'll be your host this afternoon of the favorite poetry and technology program of the tri-state area. You pick the states. Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thanks very much for tuning in to your local campus and community radio station. Boy, I've got an action-packed show for you this afternoon. Right here, live in the studio, I've been joined by poet, musician, novelist, essayist, and teacher, Brad Henderson. Brad Henderson is giving a reading at the Starry Night Poetry Series. It happens in Lodi about once a month. I was there a couple weeks ago. And this coming Sunday afternoon, what's the date on that, Brad? Is that like the 19th, the 20th? Brad's checking his iPhone. We're mixing a little technology here with the poetry.
Anyway, I just wanted to...
Your mic's not on. Hold on. Go ahead.
Anyway, okay, the technology is working. It's on the 19th of September. That would be this Sunday from 2 to 4:30 in the afternoon.
And that's in Lodi at the Lodi Public Library.
And if you've never been to Lodi...
You should really go. I'm going to turn your mic off.
It's almost as good as Galt.
So we'll have Brad for about the first 20 minutes of the program. And then at about 5:20, we'll check in with Katie Porter. She's been on this radio show before. She's the author of the book Seven Floors Up and the chapbooks Small Fruit Songs, Prose Poems, Almost Delicious, and an ekphrastic series after Modigliani's Nudes, and just released by Dancing Girl Press, and What Desire Makes of Us, a series written during NaNoWriMo 2009, forthcoming from Ahadada Books as an ebook with illustrations by her sister, Amy Joan Payne. So we're going to be joined by Katie Porter at about 20 minutes after the hour. And then for the last 15 minutes of the program, we'll be joined here in the studio by Gia Battista. I don't know, Brad, if you're going to be able to stick around for this, but I think you have joined me in seeing Gia Battista up on stage. She is an actress. She's a singer. She is, I'm sure, a theater major here at UC Davis. And she and others have founded something called the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble. And guess what? Their first production starts tomorrow evening at the gazebo of the auditorium. That'll be at 8 p.m. Also tomorrow at 8 p.m., Alan Botsford will be giving a reading at the John Itzulis Gallery, and my guest Brad Henderson will be reading a couple poems at that event. A lot going on, more to share. Stick around right here on KDVS 90.3 FM for Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Back, ladies and gentlemen, with Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. First, let's hear a quick message from our sponsor, to whom I am eternally grateful. It's the YOLO Federal Credit Union. Stick around. This is KDVS.
This hour of programming is brought to you courtesy of the Yolo County Federal Credit Union. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
We've got John Coltrane on in the background. This is Dr. Andy letting you know that I've got three creative professionals joining me on this afternoon's edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I'd like to remind you that my first guest, Brad Henderson, will be reading a couple poems at the Davis premiere of poet, professor, and Yokohama, Japan resident Alan Botsford. He's flying all the way to California. He's probably here by now. He's going to be reading some of his poetry. He's got a new book out about Walt Whitman, which is filled with poems, essays, and even dialogues. He'll be reading from that and from other works tomorrow evening at the John Nitzulis Gallery, 521 First Street, the corner of First and E Streets here in the city of Davis. It's part of the Poetry Night reading series. To find out more, visit poetryindavis.com. Brad Henderson is my guest this afternoon. Brad Henderson is a fifth-generation Davisite, the son and grandson of professors here at the University of California at Davis. He's the author of the novel Drums, the book of poetry Split Stock, and he has a number of manuscripts that are currently seeking publishers. He's well-known in the local area for his appearances at Poetry Night at Bistro 33 in the John Nitzulis Gallery. And he's made somewhat of a name for himself as well for the Western Inflected Poems, which have appeared in journals in California, throughout the West, and in other places as well. Brad Henderson is a member of the faculty here at UC Davis, teaching for the University Writing Program. He has training as an engineer, as well as a poet and an author of fiction. He's giving a reading this coming Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Lodi Public Library. And that is this coming Sunday, the 19th of September. He's joining me here in the studio. Brad Henderson, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
It's great to be back, Dr. Andy.
All right.
It's been a little while.
I know. It's been too long since you've come down here in the studio to talk about your work. What are some of the projects, in case I didn't mention them all just then, what are some of the projects that you've been working on recently?
Well, anyway, so I'm doing a chapbook series, and the first one is called Speed, Horse Sweat, and Unboxed Sky. And it's a sampling of Western/rock and roll poems that come from a full-length manuscript that I wrote called The Secret Cowboy. And I will be reading quite a few of those poems this Sunday at the Starry Night Poetry Series.
That's down in Lodi, which is not as far as people might think. It's a pleasant drive down 99, not quite an hour. A vibrant downtown such as Davis has, and a beautiful library just a block off of the main strip where they've set aside a good-sized meeting room for the Starry Night reading series. I went the last two times, and they also, I should add, serve cake. There's a free raffle where they give away books, and if you get there early enough, you can also add your name to the open mic list.
And it's likely that you'll also see farm animals
on the way, perhaps not in the library itself.
Yeah, actually, Lodi is pretty dear to me because as a boy growing up, my father was a faculty at UC Davis. However, my mother's family had a cattle ranch about an hour south of here, And we used to get there by traveling down 99. We'd only get as far as Galt, and then we'd turn left and go into the foothills to my grandfather's cattle ranch. However, if you keep going another 30 miles or so, you'll get to the lovely town of Lodi. And it's really a great part of California, a bit unspoiled, a lot of agriculture that I'm making light of. But that really is a serious thing to me because it's part of my roots as somebody who grew up in a family, in my case, a family who raised registered Hereford bulls for sale all around the world.
Really? And did you ever have to rough up any unregistered Hereford bull sellers? Because I bet, you know, there might have been some competition there from underhanded agricultural opportunists.
Once or twice.
Yeah. I bet we better not talk about that on the radio. Brad Anderson is here, and we've been talking a little bit about his poetry. But let's bring in a little technology, Brad. We've talked often on this radio show about the ebook revolution, about how Amazon.com is now selling more ebooks, more books for Kindle than it is hardback books. And I understand that with your former life as a novelist, former and future, no doubt, that you're trying to catch a little bit of that wave.
Yeah, recently, a few years back, I published a novel called Drums, based on my escapades playing drums in a small nightclub band during the 1980s. And recently, I reissued the book Kindle format, and it is now available for sale at a very reasonable price. And it was quite a lot of fun doing the project, kind of learning how to produce an electronic book. And also, I'm privileged to say that on the engineering side, I was recently featured in a book called Engineers Write, and it's about 12 so-called literary engineers writing and thriving in the United States of America. And quite a few of those engineers in the book, believe it or not, write novels. And novel writing by engineers actually goes way back to a couple of people that you might know. Dostoevsky.
I've heard of that guy.
Have you heard of him?
Yeah.
Vonnegut didn't get a degree in engineering, but had a pretty technical background. And if you look closely, quite a lot of novelists have degrees other than a degree in English.
Absolutely. Most, I would say.
Quite a few.
Yeah. Brad Henderson is my guest. He's joining me here in the studios of 14 Lower Freeborn, KDVS. KDVS got some good news this past week, and that is that the Board of Supervisors voted 5-0 to approve the new KDVS antenna. It'll be erected near the Yolo County landfill, thus strengthening the signal of your favorite campus and community radio station. And after that, Brad, we may even be heard in Galt.
I certainly hope so.
I hope so, too. All right. We've been talking about poetry and other forms of writing, Brad. Do you have a poem ready for the radio that you'd like to share with listeners this afternoon?
Yeah, I would. So I do, when I'm writing poetry, I draw from a couple of distinctly different wells. I draw from my background in engineering. I also draw from my background working as a professional drummer. I tend to write a lot of rock and roll poems. But in recent years, I've written a lot about California Western mythos, experiences that I had when I was a boy growing up, spending time with my grandfather on a working cattle ranch. Probably the most interesting experience I ever had with him and my grandfather and my grandmother is captured in this poem.
All right, let's hear it. What's it called?
It's called Cowboys and aliens.
All right. Brad Henderson, ladies and gentlemen.
A poem based on the truth of sorts. The night black sparkling, coming back from town in my granddad's Buick Electra. We saw the two big bright lights out a couple hundred yards in the south front pasture. Rustlers, said Goggle, my grandfather. Stay in the vehicle. He got out and he yelled, go on, get. We see you. And off they blinked, and all that was left was the hairbrush of meadow silhouette. Cows and calves with star-licked horns and eyes. Don't have a gun, he said. Not gonna chase him in the dark. So the next morning, we went back, traipsed around in dew-wet grass. No tracks, no traces, no carcass, no blood, no sign of commotion. On the very spot, he was 100% certain. Hard to figure, he told us later. Must have been those little green men. This was just a week before two Angus steers turned up, mutilated, on a neighbor's ranch, and no one ever figured out who did it.
That was Brad Henderson joining us here on KDBS 90.3 FM in Davis. Right after this, from John Coltrane, we'll have more of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. This is KDBS 90.3 FM in Davis. Here's an important message from your campus radio station. The Metabolic Disorders National Affiliation, or MDNA, wants California residents to know that state newborn screenings only screen for 4 out of the 38 or more metabolic disorders that can cause severe impairments, brain damages, seizures, weak immune systems, and heart and liver disease. The MDNA is a nonprofit organization that assists families experiencing financial difficulties with financial aid to purchase necessities for their children, including formula, therapeutic equipment, heart monitors, IV pumps, and other supplies. They assist with no discrimination towards race, religion, or marital status. For more information, visit www.metdna.org. We've got just a moment left with Brad Henderson, who's going to be giving a reading this coming Sunday at 2 o'clock at the Lodi Public Library as part of the Starry Night reading series. If you Google Starry Night Poetry, Starry Night Lodi, you'll certainly find more information about this. Brad, what's the poem that you're going to head out on this afternoon?
Anyway, I wanted to read a poem that's a little bit lighter, more fun, and with a focus on one of my great loves, playing drums.
All right, let's hear it.
From my boyhood, Friday night junior high dance. Buzzing on Doug Pine's mother's wine, siphoned from a green glass jug into a quart-corked Coca-Cola bottle. Sea blue, bus yellow, rainbow ooze, black light, strobe light for a gym dance, psychedelic night. Squirming over the new smell of slow dancing and shampoo, powder, and perfume, I press against the stage, digging the band's instruments. Red Sparkle Ludwig drums, Fender Strad and Bassman bass, Wild Horses into Brown Sugar, kick drum locked solid with four fat strings, the one snare, three and snare, and one in me growing hair. Yes, I will be the dude on the throne behind my own set of skins.
All right, that's Brad Henderson.
Thanks, Andy.
Absolutely. You can see Brad read tomorrow evening at the Poetry Night Reading Series. Alan Botsford will be the featured guest, and Brad will be there at 521 First Street, the John Atsulas Gallery, at 8 o'clock, and also this coming Sunday at Lodi, 2 o'clock at the Lodi Public Library. We are going to share with you a little bit more of this delightful John Coltrane music. I hope you're enjoying it. And then when we return, Katie Porter will join me. You're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. Lugod meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit Lugod's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019 or via email at root@lugod.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. Katie Porter is my guest this afternoon on the KDVS Live Line. She's the author of the book Seven Floors Up, as well as the chapbooks Small Fruit Songs, Prose Poems, and, most recently, Almost Delicious. Almost Delicious is an ekphrastic series after Modigliani's Nudes. It's just been released by Dancing Girl Press, as well as What Desire Makes of Us. And that's a series of poems written during NaPoWriMo, which we should quickly add is National Poetry Writing Month, in 2009. That's forthcoming from Ahadada Books as an ebook with illustrations by Katie's sister, Amy Joy Payne. Her current project is a manuscript in progress titled My Skies of Small Horses, which was a semi-finalist for the 2010 Active Venom Prize from Elixir Press. Poems from that collection can be found in recent issues of Crab Creek Review, Wicked Alice, and No Tell Motel. Her poems have been anthologized in Bedside Guide to No Tell Motel, Second Floor, Letters to the World, Poems from the Women's Poetry Listserv, and White Ink, Poems on Mothers and Motherhood. Her poems appear sporadically online and occasionally in print. In 2005, Katie Porter founded the online literary magazine Poemelion. She'll help me with the pronunciation there. That's a journal of poetry, and just recently founded Inlandia, a literary journey, in partnership with the Inlandia Institute. Katie Porter received her MFA in poetry from Antioch University, Los Angeles in 2010. Let's congratulate her and welcome her back. Katie Porter, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. Great to hear your voice again. You've been very busy since the last time you were on this show, including finishing your MFA from Antioch University, Los Angeles. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Do you want to say something about your favorite part of that particular MFA program through Antioch, LA?
Well, it has been a very interesting and challenging 2 years. It's challenging when you go back to school after you have already raised a family.
Right.
So that has been the hardest part about all this, but I've loved having the additional time to write and focus on the work that I really believe in. And so I'm thrilled to be done, and I'm thrilled to have done it through Antioch. I couldn't have imagined a better school to go to.
Excellent. Well, tell me about your most recent project, which I believe is Almost Delicious, your ekphrastic series of poems after Modigliani's Nudes.
Yes. That was just released by Dancing Girl Press. It's a series of persona poems that are all in response to Modigliani's Nudes, which I believe he is most famous for. He had a single one-man exhibition that he was ordered to take down, the gallery owner was, because they were lewd, because they were too brazenly sexual. And so I felt, you know, as a woman, it would be interesting for me to try and attempt to get into those paintings by embodying what I felt was sort of a collective consciousness behind each of them, because they aren't really representative of the models. They are a separate entity into themselves. And, you know, I had a lot of fun with it. It's been a nice project to work with. I tend to be pretty project-oriented.
Excellent. Well, that's a good way to get things done. And if you're just joining us, Katie Porter is my guest. She's the author of the brand-new book, Almost Delicious, an ekphrastic series after Modigliani's Nudes. It's from Dancing Girl Press. And here's what Richard Garcia has to say about this book. Almost Delicious is like the thoughts of a figure in a painting. But more than that, it is a kaleidoscopic meditation on the theme of artist and model, or like a room of mirrors in which looking and being seen are erotic, and creator, creation, and observer are locked in a love triangle of reflection and illusion. Enter. Listen to the voices and the music. You will be rewarded. So, Almost Delicious, do you want to say something about the illustrations for this book?
Well, in fact, the cover illustration was also done by my sister, who is a very talented artist who is going to art school at Virginia Commonwealth University, Amy Payne. And that's the only illustration in this one.
Okay.
I do have an e-book that she did all of the illustrations for.
Right. And I'll remind folks that if you want to see the illustration that we're talking about and see that indeed Katie Porter's sister is quite talented, you can point your browser at katieporter.com. That's CATIPorter.com. Well, Katie, do you have a poem there from Almost Delicious that you could share with listeners this afternoon?
Sure. This is actually one of the few poems in the collection that is not ekphrastic.
Okay.
It's more of an introduction and sort of an ars poetica as to what I'm getting at with this series. And it's called Still Life with Interior. In the artist's studio, there is light. There may or may not be heat, but there are places to lie, to sit, to lean, to squat. Over there is the doorway, the door locked, or possibly not. Here, an undercooked egg, forgotten breakfast, eaten late when hunger has driven the hand to raise fork to tongue, swallowing without knowledge or regret. The artist is asleep. His brush, extension of his hand, is poised above her hair. She sees distance he is painting in and is stunned. The model has gone, the made bed cold. No luxurious motion can propel her beyond canvas's plane, save for her strange mind languishing beneath the paint.
Oh, that's very nice. Tell me a little bit more, Katie Porter, about how you first encountered Modigliani, and if you've been kind of gestating this idea for a while to write an ekphrastic book of poetry.
Well, in fact, I have, and I was just thinking as I read this, there's a line in there about the distance he is painting in, and that actually is a reference to another poem I wrote about Modigliani that appeared in my first book, Seven Floors Up, and that is titled Restraint. And I wrote that one as my first attempt at writing an ekphrasis after a Modigliani, and the reason I felt compelled to write about his paintings is I was on a trip to Las Vegas with my husband, and we went to the Venetian where they had a Guggenheim exhibit. And there was this enormous Modigliani on the wall titled New. And I went home with a package of magnets, and it included one, you know, from the gift shop, and it included that image. And it haunted me for a long time. And so I made several attempts to write about it and finally came up with something successful and just felt like I wanted to keep going with it, even though that one was included in my book. But then I found myself writing more and more, and so here it is. I have a whole series.
Wonderful. Yeah, I remember, and for people who don't know the artwork of Modigliani, he's worth investigating, whether it's a trip to the library or a visit to one of the many online galleries of his work that one could encounter. We had a very realistic-looking Modigliani reproduction in my home growing up. And I'm sure you can still do this, where you buy a painting that is meant to look very much like an original. And as a small child, what did I know? In fact, I was convinced it was a portrait of my mom. But it haunted me. I think I was probably in my teens before I realized that, of course, my parents could never have afforded to have posted a Modigliani in the bedroom. But it was just a gorgeous portrait of a woman fully clothed, sitting on a bed in a room very much like my parents' room, which is why I thought that they had hired an artist at one point. But certainly his work is worth investigating. In terms of your own work, did you work from memory in terms of the painting or paintings that you saw in Las Vegas? Did you work from the magnets? Did you bring up large images on your computer screen? Did you buy a book? What were the what were the visuals that you worked with?
I did use the computer. I Googled Modigliani's nudes, and if you do that, there are just tons of them. And I wrote two individual poems, or individual paintings. So in the collection, any poem with an italicized title is titled after the title of the painting. For instance, reclining nude, seated nude, standing nude Venus.
Right.
And so I tried to embody as much of that painting as I could in the poem itself, while also trying to give it some life and not just be pure description.
Well, I think you've done a fine job. Many poets listening to the show would probably be wondering how it was that Almost Delicious found a home with Dancing Girl Press. So I'm wondering if you could say a little bit more about that before we take our break.
Sure. Well, Dancing Girl Press is a wonderful, independent, feminist press out of Chicago. And I have known about them for quite some time. I have several of their chapbooks by other authors. And I just submitted during their open reading period. I believe it's in over the summer or maybe August. And was thrilled to find out that she loved my work and accepted the manuscript.
Excellent. Good for you. That's very much like a prize itself to have one of these high-quality small presses choose your work out of all of the submissions received. We're going to take a quick break, Katie, and then when we return, I hope that you'll share another poem with us.
Sure.
Great. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around. More poetry coming up. This is Dr. Andy with an important message from the Merchants National Bank of Sacramento. The Merchants National Bank of Sacramento reminds all women to have screening mammograms at recommended intervals. Today's low-dose, state-of-the-art mammography can detect tumors too small to be discovered by touch. Don't delay. Early diagnosis can mean that you'll have better than a 95% chance of successful treatment. This message is a courtesy of the Merchants National Bank of Sacramento. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender. They're online at merchantsnational.com and on the air this afternoon because they care about the health of the women in our community. Thank you. This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, reminding you that the Poetry Night Reading Series is continuing tomorrow evening as they welcome poet and essayist Alan Botsford. He's visiting from Yokohama, Japan, and this coming Thursday, September 16th at 8 p.m., he'll be performing at the John Nitzulis Gallery at 521 First Street. His new poetry collection is called Walt Whitman of Cosmic Folklore. That's from Sage Hill Press, a 2010 publication. I'll be at that event. Perhaps I'll see you tomorrow night at the John Nitzulis Gallery, 521 First Street. There will be an open mic after the featured reader. Katie Porter is still on the live line with me. She is a poet who has a number of books to her credit. We've been talking mostly about her most recent book called Almost Delicious. It's an ekphrastic series after the nudes of the painter Modigliani, and it's just been released by Dancing Girl Press, that press outside of Chicago. Now, Katie, tell me something about your relationship with your local poetry scene. Do you have a lot of people who are cheering you on locally and hoping that you'll show up at readings and open mics to read from your new book?
Yeah. You know, and in fact, I was really disappointed. I did a recent reading in San Diego at the Agitpop Gallery. It's a wonderful series curated by a poet named Kay Lorraine Graham. And I had hoped to have some of the chapbooks in time for that reading. And, you know, I'm very involved with the Southern California poetry scene. You know, you mentioned the journal that I edit.
Right.
It's pronounced Poemelian, like poem and chameleon smashed together. And I also just recently founded a literary journal in partnership with the Inlandia Institute, which is regionally focused writings that are centered around the Inland Empire region. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. It's roughly Riverside and San Bernardino counties stretching out to the desert.
Right.
And so I host readings from time to time. I do an annual reading for Poemelian, and I try and get out and read as much as possible from my own work.
It sounds like you're doing your part for the poetic community, and especially with those two journals. Are you pleased with the number of submissions that you've received to Inlandia, A Literary Journey?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I just officially sent out the call for submissions today.
Uh-huh.
I think right now we have a total of four.
That's pretty good.
I just checked the inbox. So we are, I'm confident that we're going to have just tons of work. It's just a matter of getting the word out. And I have already, you know, I have in mind the types of work that we would like to publish. And we're going to put out three new pieces every week. So send the work in. I have room.
That's encouraging. We're already Facebook friends, so I can help you spread the word that way. But if you drop me an email, I'll make sure that I let folks up here in the Davis-Sacramento area know about your work and about this new market for Inland Empire poetry.
Yes.
Excellent.
And fiction and memoir. It's actually quite broad. It's all types of writing.
Great.
Stage.
Well, speaking of writing, Katie, do you have another poem nearby that you could share with listeners of the radio show?
Sure. I should mention that the poems attempt to explore the relationship between the viewer and the viewed. And in this case, it's, you know, the painting and the observer. And so this next poem is called Seated Nude, Part 1. And I lean away as if posing with my eyes closed will avert your gaze. Though because my face is in shadow, you are drawn to my breasts, pressed upon the foreground. One arm is too long for my body. My waist and hips form an A-line without the skirt. My other arm obscured, the one hand I have abstracted. I cannot touch you. The sharp Y of pubis and size, a long-stemmed martini glass brimming with curly smoke. I am what electricity would look like if it were woman-shaped. The one that used to look like me is gone. Don't be fooled. I am not asleep. I can feel you looking. Do not look away. I would not have allowed him to paint me this way if I didn't love you.
Oh, that's very nice. You'd mentioned the gaze at the start, and that's certainly with regard to a feminist press, such as Dancing Girl Press, that this has been a strain of feminist criticism as well, with Laura Mulvey looking at film and many others, and that is, under what circumstances does the beautiful woman who's being viewed, who's being stared at, get to stare back and take some control in that sort of that visual relationship that the viewer has with the viewed or the subject of the portrait?
Yes. Well, I am attempting to reverse, you know, the gaze and make the viewer become the viewed. And it's sort of looking outward from the perspective of this consciousness in the painting and how trapped it feels, or she, I should say.
Right.
It's, you know, an attempt to just explore that relationship.
Excellent. Well, let's remind folks at home that the name of the book is Almost Delicious. It's an ekphrastic series after Modigliani's Nudes, and it's just been published by Dancing Girl Press. The author of this book is Katie Porter, CATIPORTER, and I spell that purposefully in case you want to go visit her website, which is katieporter.com. Katie, it's been a pleasure to welcome you back to this radio show. Thanks so much for sharing your poetry with me, and congratulations on your new book.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me again.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is KDBS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and we'll be right back as we take a theatrical bent talking about Romeo and Juliet in just a moment here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. There's a lot going on this weekend. If you're looking for some literary fare, I already told you that tomorrow evening, Alan Botsford will be reading his poetry at the John Atsulis Gallery. That's at 8 o'clock. On Friday, also at the John Atsulis Gallery, the Blue Moon Literary and Art Review will be releasing its fall 2010 edition. And there's an event starting at 7 o'clock at the gallery. At 7:30 that same Friday night, Allegra Silberstein, who's been on this show, of course, will be hosting James Lee Job and Anne Privateer at the Other Voice Poetry Series. That'll be at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis at Patwin Road. And then Brad Henderson, my guest of earlier, will be reading in Lodi on Sunday. Next Thursday, Whitey Erickson, who you've heard on this radio show many times, will be performing at 126 Voorhees. And then on Wednesday the 6th, there'll be a reading in the Arboretum with UC Davis Chicano Studies Professor Chico Gonzalez. And then on the 8th and 9th, none other than Michael McClure, the great beat poet and now legend, will be joined by Ray Manzarek of The Doors at the Davis Jazz Beat Festival. If you want to find out more about that, you can visit the Cultural Action Committee of Davis at culturalactioncommittee.com. I've got two guests here in the studio who are going to tell us about a production of Romeo and Juliet that runs concurrently with many of these events that I've just mentioned, but you can make time, I'm sure. Romeo and Juliet opens tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. at the UC Davis Arboretum Gazebo. There'll be showings Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday evening of this coming weekend, and also of the following weekend. If you want to find out more, you can visit arboretum.ucdavis.edu. If you'd like to make reservations, you can send an email to davis.shakespeare@gmail.com. Gia Battista is here in the studio. She might hold the record for the actor who has appeared on this radio show the most times, other than myself, of course. And she and a group of friends this summer have founded something called the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble. And Gia will play Juliet in their first production, which is Romeo and Juliet, which debuts this week. And Rob Salas, who's also here in the studio, is the director of that particular show. So let's welcome them. Gia Battista, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And Rob, good to meet you.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, Gia, you're one of the driving forces in founding this Shakespeare Ensemble. Tell me what inspired you and why is it necessary here in the city of Davis?
We were inspired by, well, first of all, working out in the Arboretum because we finished a production of Hair last spring, and that was really cool. And we kind of snooping around out there in that gazebo out there is beautiful, and we, you know, had to make it another playing space and turn it into another theater. So, a group of us, Stephanie Hankinson, who also directed Hair and co-directed Macbeth, and then we dragged Rob in from UC Irvine, who's getting his directing master's. I was like, we have to do this. So we collaborated with the Arboretum director, and now they're co-producing with us, which is really awesome.
That's great.
So... yeah.
What a culturally significant arboretum we have here in Davis.
Definitely.
And if you want to find out more about that, you can visit arboretum.ucdavis.edu. And we will hear from Rob in a moment. But Romeo and Juliet is a great play because it's one of the few that can be safely taught to, let's say, middle school children without too many worries about either sex, language, or violence.
Right.
So that's why I might choose it if my 12-year-old daughter was starring in a production. But what compelled you to choose Romeo and Juliet?
How did we actually choose that? I think we sent Rob snooping around the space and kind of we were just talking about the best show that would suit who we have as people that we knew were available or people that we know would love to do the project with us. And we kind of chose it. I mean, I've never done the production. Shocked. I've done a Julian Shakespeare shows and I've never done this play. So it's kind of an exciting new show to tackle. And I don't think a lot of us had really worked on it before. So it's kind of inspired by the space and just kind of what was, you know, right for us as a group.
Right. So. Excellent. And Rob Salas, let me welcome you to the program. So it's not only that they convinced you to direct the show, but they convinced you to come all the way from Irvine to direct the show.
I'm based in Irvine right now, just finishing up my master's in directing. And I've always been a fan of Davis. I've had a lot of friends that come here. And I've always had great theatrical experiences here, but seeing shows through the department and the student organization, mm-hmm. Studio 301. And so I've always sort of had it in the back of my mind that I'd love to do something in Davis.
Excellent. What were some of the challenges and pleasures of working with this company and in the space that you all have chosen?
I was expecting a lot more challenges, but the space out there, in the gazebo and in the arboretum is actually pretty well suited for performance. It has a roof and a sense of the center of it is kind of works naturally as a performance space is what we found. And I believe that they've had some live music played there and some other events and people do weddings and stuff. So it just seems almost naturally suited for this kind of work, though we are, I guess, bringing in our own chairs and lights and securing those things are a little difficult. But as far as making that place workable for performance, it was actually a pretty smooth transition.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And because we're in a plugging mood, what would you say is particularly great about this production if someone wanted to come out and if someone's on the fence saying, well, should I go see this brand new production of Romeo and Juliet or should I not? What would you say and why?
Well, we are really working with the space really well. It's got some interesting acoustics that we are taking advantage of. We've installed chimes in each pillar that is throughout the gazebo, so we sort of use them to make music throughout the show. So it's got some original music, and that's a nice draw, as well as Romeo and Juliet's always treated as this great love story, which of course it is, but it does have some of the best written battle scenes, I guess you could say, between the two conflicting houses. And we've got some great martial arts.
Now you're talking.
That's close and intimate because it's a really small space, so we'll get in your face with that. And our Romeo is quite an athlete. He's a rock climber, so we definitely use that ability, which I won't tell you how, but that is a dangling.
Instead of a dangling modifier.
Exactly.
It's a dangling suggestion that you all have to see the show to find out more about. Well, I saw in the photographs that you all released that there's lots of work on fight scenes, mm-hmm. people with angry faces, mm-hmm. and then there's also some climbing. Evidenced.
Yes.
So a lot going on. A physical production of Romeo and Juliet. So
very intimate and small cast, 7 people. So we'll get right close and personal.
Excellent. Well, let's remind folks one more time what we're talking about, and that is that in the gazebo at the UC Davis Arboretum, starting Thursday evening at 8:00, and showing at 8 p.m. for those 4 days, and then the 4 days of the subsequent weekend, you'll be able to see the brand new Davis Shakespeare Ensemble's production and first production ever, this one of Romeo and Juliet. If you want to find out more, you can visit arboretum.ucdavis.edu. And if you'd like to make reservations, if you want to reserve some seats, the email to use is davis.shakespeare@gmail.com. Well, Gia Battista, welcome back. Rob Salas, thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having us again.
Absolutely. I hope that you get some good crowds this weekend. I look forward to seeing the production with my daughter sometime during this ongoing run. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached another conclusion of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I'd like to thank all of my guests, including Brad Henderson, the poet who will be reading in Lodi at the Lodi Public Library at 2 p.m. this coming Sunday as part of the Starry Night reading series. Katie Porter, who has that new book out called Almost Delicious, the ekphrastic series after Modigliani's Nudes. You can find out more about her at katieporter.com. And then Gia Battista and Rob Salas here representing the brand new Davis Shakespeare Ensemble. My name is Andy Jones, and I hope to see all of you tomorrow evening at the John Atsulis Gallery for that great Alan Botsford reading. He's a poet coming all the way from Yokohama, Japan, to read to you if you happen to be there. Otherwise, at one of these other many literary events, the school year is about to start, so there's great cultural energy in the air. I hope you're able to take advantage of some of it. I'll be back to give you another update and to introduce you to some new poetic and technological friends next Wednesday at 5 for another edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry